think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins.
We need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. But this war is for the soul of America.
The pools of blood shed by modern atheism dwarf anything that religion can produce. And in fact, all the religions in the world put together haven't killed as many as atheist regimes have killed in about 10 years.
We tend to think about the 20th and 21st centuries as being times of relative peace for Christians, but it isn't true. In fact, the 20th and the 21st centuries are a time of intense persecution for Christians. Now, we American Christians don't experience it. We think we do. We whine and complain about the inconvenience of being a Christian in a religiously and ideologically pluralistic society, but it's nothing compared to what Christians genuinely suffer in the rest of the world. We're going to be talking about a bit of Christian persecution here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. today in the Indian state of Orissa. You may have read about it in the news. Dr. Victor Raj will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Wednesday, September the 10th. After a short conversation with Dr. Raj, we'll do some audio open lines. There's a story about from National Public Radio about a California church that's providing sanctuary for illegal immigrants. That story is not new, but I'd like you to answer some of the questions related to that. What if your pastor wanted to harbor illegal aliens against deportation? What if that illegal alien was a mother and that mother had a child born here in the United States, therefore entitled to stay as a citizen in the United States? What would you do? What should be done in the cases of mothers whose children are born here in the United States, but mom is an illegal alien, or maybe mom and dad? Should the parents be deported? Should the children who are citizens be sent with them? Should the church step in, intervene, as several churches in the country are doing right now, and offer sanctuary? I want you to think about those questions. Audio open lines comes up in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. Our call-in numbers for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Oh, one more question on that. What should the penalties be for a church that harbors, if you believe they shouldn't, what should the penalty be for a church that harbors illegal aliens against deportation? 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us a little later in the program. We'll talk about teen sex and abstinence-based sex education. You've already read it in the news that Sarah Palin's daughter, who is pregnant, unmarried, at 17, went to a high school where they had abstinence-only education. Some might say, well, there you go. That explains it. Dr. Danny Faulkner will join us. Something I've been watching, a story I've been watching for months now. The biggest super collider in the world has been constructed and come online. It's going to be firing particles at one another. It's going to, they say, recreate in part the conditions that may have prevailed, scientists believe, in the first few millionths of a second after the so-called Big Bang. We'll talk about the beginning of the universe with Danny Faulkner, professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Southern California and speaker for the Institute for Creation Research a little later in the program. Greg Kokol joins us then to talk about some statements made yesterday. I believe it was here in St. Louis by vice presidential candidate Joe Biden about embryonic stem cell research and who's really being compassionate, those who favor it or those who don't. That's coming up later on the program. Dr. Victor Raj is our guest here for the first few minutes of the program. He is mission professor of New Testament and assistant director of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He formerly served as president of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Nagercoil, India, and he's author of the book The Hindu Connection, Roots of the New Age. Dr. Raj, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell us about the story of this Christian persecution, the violence against Christians and their churches in the Indian state of Orissa.
Yeah, it's sad. Orissa is, if you have a grasp of the India map, it's a state immediately south of Calcutta, which is 300 years ago, William Carey came as the first Protestant missionary. Actually, before that, Ziegenbalg came, 300 years ago, Ziegenbalg came about to India about 400 miles south of where Orissa is. So you get a picture of the Orissa state. Like the United States, India has states, and this is one of those. And the special thing about Orissa is modern missionary movement. I'm talking about 19th and 20th centuries. Started its intensive mission work, particularly among the poor in overseas nations, including India. And there are even several Lutheran churches, Lutheran churches in the Orissa region. So majority of the Christians in the Orissa state would be close to poverty line or just around the poverty line. So that's the situation there. What Christianity had brought to a nation like India is a new identity for people as human beings. There is the built-in Hindu caste system practiced by 83% of India's 1.2 billion population. And for the whole of India, Christianity is around 35 million, or is, I don't know, maybe 2 million, 3 million Christians there. The challenge is... as early as folks will know that India became independent from the British occupation in 1948, and since there has been a genuine resurgence of nationalism. What Hinduism, on the other hand, has done is to mix nationalism with what they call Hindutva, which means if you are Indian, then you are by default Hindu as well. But there are, I dare say, level-headed secularist and objective, periodic, and devout Hindus who see, even though they don't have it in the book, a clear distinction between church and state. And those, thank God, are the ones, majority of whom, are holding power in today's government. On the other hand, the Hindutva movement is intentionally bent on monopolizing India for Hinduism. And as early as 1969, that's close to 40 years ago, a man by the name of Swami Lakshmananda Saraswati started an ashram, a Hindu religious center, in the Orissa state, the state we are talking about in northeast India, and committed himself to working against Christian missionaries. That's the historic background of this. But what triggered the whole thing that we now know has been costing the lives of a lot of people. Some reports say 38 people were killed. Others say even hundreds have been killed. We do know that at least 50,000 of the Christians have been forced out of their homes, and a lot of the homes were set on fire, including a few churches, and some Catholic priests and nuns were stripped naked and forced to walk on the road publicly, etc. A lot of things have been happening. So what triggered all this is about 40 days ago, I believe, this Swami's name that I mentioned, he, Lakshmananda, the leader of the Hindutva party, and a few others, I think four others, were shot dead. And ironically, realistically, the Maoist Communist Party guerrillas have claimed responsibility for that, in spite of which the Hindu movement, followers of this Swami, are unleashing their anger against Christianity and doing all they can to eradicate Christians from the area. That's actually what's happening.
I cannot help but be reminded of some of the earliest Christian persecutions that took place, kind of venting public anger against Christianity, blaming them for crimes that they had no hand in whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, that's the case here as well. Yeah.
Well, is this similar then? Can we make a parallel between this and, say, a Muslim state where being Muslim and being a member of that state is considered to be one and the same with the imposition of Sharia law and things like this? In this case, not it Muslim, is, but Hindu?
It is, Todd, coming pretty close to this. And I am flabbergasted. I'm wonderstruck by this weird, twisted mentality among the Hindu leadership. Hinduism, as such, is at least fundamentally a tolerant religion. It just acknowledges all people and their freedom to exercise their own religion, although they would. Hindus would call all these, all people Hindu. They would say, "You, if you are religious, you are Hindu." So that on the one side. And on the other hand, in modern and postmodern times, it is terrible for some group to become fundamentalistic and then blame everything on some religious group that they just happen to dislike. And that's precisely what's unfortunately happening here. And it is bad because the state of Orissa is, I dare say, is behind this or backing it. I have reasons, many reasons, because this has caught the attention of the public. I'm talking about other religious people as well as the state government. The central government, the Prime Minister of India, pleaded with the state I think the rule of 3655 or so, they quoted that and say, you are under obligation under the Constitution to protect minorities, especially people who have different religious persuasions. You are, by the state's constitution, obligated to protect them.
Dr. Raj, I've got a couple more questions for you on this subject. Can you stick with this on the other side of this break?
I will.
All right. We'll have Dr. Victor Raj with us for just a few more minutes after the break, and then we'll begin some audio open lines for the remainder of this hour. Remember my questions about churches that harbor illegal immigrants? Should there be penalties for these churches? Should churches do it at all? What about splitting up families where the children are citizens and the parents are illegals? All those questions during audio open lines. I want your answers after this break.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
No doubt that it will become a devotional classic, the likes of which American Lutheranism has not seen. It is a literary testimony to the spiritual vitality of confessional Orthodox Lutheranism.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Karen Kemp, Louise Bischoff, Christian Tweetmeyer, David Reddle, Diane Frank, Heather Roisch, Pastor Gregory Grenyeau, Carol Walchak, Carol Walther, and Gerhard Mundinger. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Victor Raj is our guest for just a few more minutes. We're talking about the Hindu persecution of Christians in the Indian state of Orissa. I want you to pick up where you left off, Dr. Raj. You had been talking about how you strongly suspect, that the state government of Orissa is turning a blind eye, at the very least, to this violence and religious persecution.
As we speak, this happens to be a situation because there has been protests all over the world. The Pope had issued a statement, and the Catholic Bishops Association of India had issued a statement as a gesture of support for the Christians and also for bringing peace to the state all over. On the 29th of August, 40 1,000 Christian institutions, educational institutions, and service institutions observed a special day of prayer. So this was a national attention, giving national support for this people who are being persecuted on account of their faith. And lately, about a week ago, the Supreme Court of India got involved, and the Chief Justice of India has issued statements to the state to uphold the law of the land and protect the people who are innocent and who are punished for no reasons of committing any mistakes at all. So it is a serious issue, and we hope there will be peace.
I'm wondering, is it an isolated incident here in Orissa, or do you think there's a danger of this kind of Hindu-on-Christian violence spreading elsewhere in India?
I would read this as a sociological phenomenon. It is kind of common because most people, regardless of their religious persuasion, take religion personally and seriously, and sometimes not knowing what they're doing. And in that vein, if you're so crooked and close-minded, you will think that a person who does not practice your religion is your enemy. And Christianity is, by default, falling in that situation because Christians normally are not ashamed of their faith. They bring their Bible to church. They talk about, they take Christian names. They walk out publicly as Christian because the nation allows freedom under the law to practice your own religion. And they are excited about the faith that they are given in Jesus Christ to believe as their Savior. So they take that seriously. But that does not mean that they resort to violence. They just want their place in the place the Lord placed them, in that country which they call their motherland. And in this case, at least in this, the thing that triggered this kind of persecution is a classic example of how an incident is twisted by fundamentalists for their own gain, because the folks who killed this Hindu leader and his five other followers are Maoist guerrillas, and the Maoists have actually taken responsibility for that. But what they're doing is just working against another religious body. And things like this have happened before, but I believe in the recent past, not to this magnitude, though. Remember, like, it was 93 or 94, Missionary Graham was killed. Actually, he and his two sons were, as it were, burned at the stake in their own van. They were parked in a village where they have lived for 35 years, and one night some adversaries came and put an end to their life. And nuns have been stripped naked and forced to walk on the street elsewhere. And even native indigenous pastors, not too long ago, one was literally beheaded in another part of India. And about late July, there was a Catholic priest who went out, who had served a remote part of India for 20-plus years, and he was out doing some social service in a village. Saturday and Sunday morning, he could not appear in chapel for the Mass. And they traced him, and they found his motorcycle in one place. And about a mile away from the motorcycle, they found his body battered, bruised, and finally tortured and killed. So this does happen. Sometimes it's not just individuals. They attack 3, 4, 5 people, and then it kind of recedes. However, in this case, this is almost 45 days now. And it is gaining national attention, even international attention. World Council of Churches and Lutheran World Federation have spoken, put out their news release, etc. And the India government is taking this pretty seriously. And the latest I read from the Home newspaper was the Central Intelligence Bureau was setting out for an investigation report about this. But the state said, no, we will do the investigation ourselves using our own intelligence, the state intelligence, etc. So it is. We just have to wait and see how this is going to transpire.
Dr. Victor Raj is Assistant Professor of New Testament and Assistant Director of Missions at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He is formerly the president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Nagercoil, India, author of the book, The Hindu Connection, Roots of the New Age. Thanks for being our guest, Dr. Raj.
Thanks so much.